We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Merlone and Fourier.
What about that first touchdown at Gillette Stadium? I wonder how much that ball is worth. Guess who has that ball?
Do you have it?
Guess who has that ball?
Do you have it? Is it with your rings?
Oh, yeah, baby. Who's got that ball?
The odds are you have no clue where it is.
Maybe true.
Welcome to Chargers Week.
LA doesn't watch you. They don't like you. They'd rather watch the Clippers. I mean, come on. We're talking about the Chargers.
Featuring a quarterback that Bill really, really seems to like.
I have a ton of respect for him. I think he's going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league for a long time to come.
And a coach that really, really likes Bill Belichick.
I just think that when I've studied Bill, I see a complete coach. And I know that that's something that I'm trying to be.
It's Lou.
How the hell do you argue that? You want to wear leather? Perfect. Let's do this.
It's Christian.
You're more dismissive than
I am.
It
was an impressive win. Okay.
Say I'm more dismissive
than
you.
Because I
you
kept
are.
Saying
it's Merlone and Fourier on WEEI.
Fourth and final hour here of Merlone and Fourier. We got a big football game here on Sunday.
We do.
Real big football game. You know, 4-2 Chargers, 3-4
Must
Pats.
Must win.
Well, it's yeah, it's must win.
I feel like every week is a must win.
If you want us to take you serious.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's a better way
a
of framing
win.
It.
Right?
It's a better way of framing it, yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't want to come in here on Monday and have the guy call up and say, you know, now you're four plays away from maybe being like, you know, 6-2.
Yeah.
Or 7-1 even, you know. So it's like enough with that stuff, right? Enough. You've had some good games. You know, you've played two very good teams, in my opinion, Tampa Bay and Dallas. And you had a chance to win both.
Yep.
Then you played two 50-50 games.
But not really.
At the time, we thought Miami was 50-50. Now they're just the worst team. They're the only team you beat.
You know, it's funny.
And the New Orleans Saints, they're a hit or miss. You don't know what you're going to get, and you lost both of those. So it's about time you beat a good team.
You know, and when we say, like, it's funny, you just said that. And I was like, okay, did they really have a chance to beat them?
Who?
Did they really have a chance to beat the Tampa Bay Bucs?
Why, you think Brady's like, coming right down?
Yeah, because it's like, in
what
reality.
What if you go for a 4th-and-3? And you get it,
okay.
And you run it down to 10
okay,
seconds.
So, but they didn't. But,
well, that's what
but
I'm
they
saying.
Didn't. I sit there and I go, certain teams like the Cowboys, and the Bucks. It's like, you know, a team like you, it's probably not going to happen.
Okay,
you
Miami
aren't gonna make their decision. Yes, I will take Miami on a crazy fumble late. I will even take the Saints, where you really allow them to go down like almost 80 yards in the fourth quarter, take up 9 minutes of the clock, and then they scored a touchdown to put it out of reach. But you were doing everything perfectly. You just couldn't get off the field. And all they were doing was running the football. They weren't throwing it. That was Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you look at this.
Not
and
Dak
again,
Prescott.
We mentioned, you know, basically from 5-2 to 3-4, I should say, there's 12 teams. There's 12 teams that are technically, you know, are still kind of in this thing. Four teams are out. Jets, Miami, done. Jacksonville, Houston, done. But, you know, it's a defining few weeks. I think, like, in 3 or 4 weeks, you're going to have a much better picture of what it looks like. And maybe not. I don't know. The whole league is messed up. Like, all these teams could sit there and go, everybody could go 2-1, 1-2, 2-2 in the next 4 weeks. Whatever, right? But still, you want to start taking it seriously. It's like, the reality is you've won 3 games, 2 against the Jets, 1 against Houston. The reality is that you are, what, 10-13 in the last 2 years. And 4 of those 10 wins are against the Jets. 4 of those 10. You know, so other than the lowly, awful Jets,
there
I mean,
is
you're
Jets.
6-13
I will say this, though,
against other teams in the NFL.
Okay, great. I actually feel pretty good about this game.
Why?
And I feel pretty good because I feel like Bill feels pretty good about this game. And it's all about, you know, translating what Bill is saying. Wait, what his real meaning is. Now, this, okay.
You
this,
break down Bill.
I know, I
you
do. I feel like I'm
Bill's
really
comments.
Good at breaking down Bill. So, but this is from
Monday.
This is from Monday because usually, I think most people when Bill speaks either on the morning show, they have a tendency not to look forward to the next opponent. It's all about looking back. What'd you do right? What'd you do wrong? Stupid stories, you know, stuff like that. He actually was asked, not during the Greg Hill show, but afterwards during his morning press conference with the media, they asked him about Justin Herbert, and he went all in.
He's really good. I thought he was outstanding. Everything you're looking for, he's very athletic, good arm, a lot of poise. He's as good a quarterback as I've seen come out here in quite a while, especially as it fits the pro game. And you know, I don't think you're going to find too many better than him. This guy's really, really an impressive player. I thought he was really good when we played him last year. Luckily, we had a pretty good day, but I'm not counting on that again. I have a ton of respect for him. I think he's going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league for a long time to come.
I love it. So, okay, he's got him right where he wants him. Got him right where he wants him.
So you read all of that as, yeah.
No, listen, I'm not going to say.
Yeah,
listen, he's a good player. He was the rookie of the year, okay? It's not like he's not a good player. But, oh, man, you know, we beat your ass last year. I mean, it was 45-0, man. You didn't score a touchdown. Oh, man, we'll never do that again. It'll never happen again. You're too good. You're too good out of the pocket. You're too strong. You're too accurate. Your players are way too talented. Like, to me, that is when he's at his best. That is when the team is at their best, when he scares them to death. That's when they're at their best. Yeah. So, no, he has them right where he wants them.
He was just like, yeah, he's a great player. You know, I know last year, whatever. But still, last year he was 26 for 53 for 209 yards, no touchdowns and two interceptions. He had a quarterback rating of 43.7. It's the only game in his entire career he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass. It's the lowest quarterback rating he's had in his entire career.
But
and he thought he was great against
them.
I thought he was really good when we played him last year.
He thought
year.
He was really good against them last
was
year.
Was he? Based
he
on what?
Sucked last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, that's my point. He's lying again.
So I do look at that
yeah,
game.
Yeah, I confirm that.
And, you know, Cam Newton, we were looking at it before, was 12 for 19, you know, in this game. They threw for 69 yards.
69 yards.
It's 12 for 19 for 69
didn't
yards.
Need to. So the game was over at halftime.
You're right. You went right down the field. You scored a touchdown. They came down, missed a field goal. Then they had a punt blocked, I think it was.
No, you returned a punt
for
a touchdown.
You blocked a field goal for a touchdown. Blocked a field goal for a touchdown and a punt return for a touchdown. And you just sort of blew their doors off, you know, and they never got going. I mean, Cam Newton was great in that game. 12 for 19 for 69 yards.
Jared Stidham checked into that game.
Stidham was fantastic.
Yeah, what do you do?
Stidham was 2 for 3 with a 38-yard touchdown bomb.
It's 61
touchdown.
Yards.
His quarterback rating is 149.3. Yeah. Jared Stidham will always have that Charger game.
He will.
149.3. I'll always have the Chargers.
This is the beginning of something special.
It was something special. But he was pathetic, Justin Herbert, in this game. They didn't do anything. They didn't do anything at all in this game.
And what's changed? So I do think, listen,
they're better.
If you get on him quick, if you, you know, start doing all the right things, sure, it's going to be tough. But this team, you know, I just feel like there's other examples that he could have used. He could have used the game against the Cleveland Browns when he had 20 plus points in the fourth quarter. Then they beat how we played when they went into Arrowhead. They beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They beat the Cleveland Browns with Chubb and Hunt. They beat the Raiders. They had a fast pace shootout against Derek Carr and the Raiders. They won that game, you know. And then they have the stinker that was the Baltimore Ravens. That was 35-6 where they couldn't do anything either. And now they're coming off a bye week.
They ran for 24 yards against the Ravens. Yeah. I think Herbert got 12 of them.
So listen, they have one of the worst special teams units in the NFL. Last year, it was historically bad. But unlike you this year, they don't have a punt block. They don't have a kick block. You have two punt blocks, and you're still a better special teams unit
than them.
Well, you say,
what's changed? You know, that would be next year, if the Saints were on your schedule and, you know, Sean Payton came out and talked about, you know, Mac Jones, and you'd be like, dude, he threw three picks. He had a quarterback rating of 55. I mean, what's changed? You know what I mean? And he would say, well, it's the second year. And Herbert is good last year, but he's better this year. Now, they have a head coach, whatever. Apparently a decent one that better than the guy they had. They're 4-2. They've played some pretty tough teams so far. So, you know, maybe something has changed. You know, and I know our boy John Anderson wrote an article about how, you know, cause he predicted
article.
This. He predicted the Dallas Cowboys, they're not going to be able to stop them, and yep. They look beautiful for at least in the first half. In this game here, they do. They have one of the worst rushing defenses in the league.
The worst. They're last.
Yes, they're dead last. And I know it's still six games into it, but I often look at, like, you know, some of these opponents that they play. You know, and you do this like in fantasy football. You do it a lot, you know, and they're like, they're number one against running backs. They're number one against wide receivers. They're number one against tight ends. Ooh, don't start them against tight ends. Ooh, the tight ends light them up. You should start your tight end because this, you know, this team, they suck against tight ends. Then you find out they're 1-2, and they've played Kelce, Waller, and Kittle. And you're like, geez, I wonder why they suck at tight ends. But do they really? We don't know yet. They went up against the exceptional, you know, tight ends.
Yeah.
So they can't stop the run. So Antonio Gibson put up like 90 on them in game one. Pollard and Zeke put up like a buck 70. Hilaire ran for 100. Jacobs didn't do anything against them. And then it was like Chubb and Hunt ran for like a buck 90 against them. And last week was the Ravens. And we know the Ravens always run the football, okay? Because their quarterback runs for 60 yards. And they had Freeman and then Murray, and they all ran for like 50 each. So I don't know how bad they are, but they went up against some pretty good running teams. But you're a pretty good running team, too.
Yeah.
And that's where you should control this football game.
And let's not say, you know, the Browns ran for all the yards, and they lost.
Yeah.
The Browns lost that game. Even with all that yardage, they were still able to come back and win that game. So it's just funny to me how Bill's approach is. It's like, hey.
I got to scare him.
It's like, I got to scare the team, and I don't think he needs to.
No, he needs to this week.
And he was not. They weren't good. He wasn't good last year. Like, he wasn't. The team wasn't good. Now, maybe that had something to do with Anthony Lynn, the head coach, who was basically on his way out. That was the worst loss in Charger history, and he was at the helm of that team. He gets fired. Here comes Brandon Staley. Here comes Joe Lombardi. And now here comes a brand-new approach to everything. Like, everything. So, and they're 4-2.
Yeah, Texas says they didn't have Mike Williams or Eckler last year. Well, they didn't have Mike Williams. They had Eckler. He ran eight times for 36 yards and also had four catches on nine targets. But Mike Williams is a different animal now. Like, this dude is an absolute beast. Like, Keenan Allen's no longer, like, the number one target. Like, Mike Williams is a beast. And they got Jared Cook and Keenan Allen and Eckler.
Yeah.
So, once again, I feel like we always go into Patriots games, and it's not, you know, for years it's been like, you know, how is Brady going to score against this defense? How many points do they need to put up? Offense, thinking offense. I don't really remember a game thinking, okay, this is what the Patriots offense has to do. Because for a while, we didn't know who the hell they were. We didn't know what their identity was.
Don't you think you know now?
I do, but I still think it's the same. It's about the defense. Whether it's going up against Dallas or Tampa or this Charger team, it's like, how are they going to slow them down? And if it's going up against Jameis Winston and the kid Mills down in Houston, how many turnovers can they get? What do they need to do defensively to slow this team down? They should shut down Davis Mills. They should only give up 10 points against that team. They should pick off Winston two or three times. He's going to throw the ball up. Tua doesn't challenge you defensively. I feel like every conversation of a Patriots game is about this defense because it's what we expected them to be. We expected them to do it. We know they're not now. They're not. But this game here, it's still about how the hell is this defense slow down those four guys I just mentioned.
So now,
with Herbert, the quarterback.
So when you hear people talk about, you know, it's a second-year quarterback and Bill's record against second-year quarterbacks in the league is, you know, it's great. And now when you hear Brady and Peyton and Eli on the Manning cast talking about how, Bill's offense, Bill's defense is actually pretty easy.
It's been the same for 20 years.
In 20 years.
Changes a little, but
not
much. It's not
going to change, but it's basically the same
format. It's not confusing. You know what they're going to do to you?
Yeah.
Maybe because Herbert's a second year and he's not aware of that yet.
Well, true. That's a big part of it because obviously you're talking to two savants at least.
Right.
I wouldn't call Eli a savant.
Eli's not.
But Peyton and Brady, definitely. I mean, those are like, you know, mega minds, those two.
I mean, you knew exactly what they were going to do. They weren't confusing.
They weren't confusing.
So I think it is. So here's, I want to do this real quick, okay? Because what we do a lot of, at least here's what I like to do. I like to find out what the other coaches are saying about Bill, what they're saying about Mac, what they're saying about just the Patriots in general. Like David Culley of the Houston Texans felt like he had no clue who he was playing.
Yeah.
Didn't have a clue.
Wrote a book report, didn't read the book.
Didn't read it, just kind of asked somebody.
They do what they do very well.
Yeah, it's the same thing. So Brandon Staley, young coach, was on the Rams staff with Sean McVay. So that whole, you know, new coaching tree that is existing.
Cool All club.
Right? Yeah, and I feel like, you know, Ryan kind of feels like he found something.
I think I did.
That proves that Brandon Staley is in love with Bill Belichick. Listen, you're going to have to hear it. There's like three clips, okay? I'm going to play you the first one after he was introduced to the reporters and they asked him about Bill.
They have an identity in all three phases that works through him and that stood the test of 20 years in the National Football League. So when you're playing their team, they're connected in all three phases. They know how to play to the strength of their football team. And I think he knows how to organize a team that's competitive in all three phases of the game, not just one. You've never seen their team kind of be out of balance. They've been able to be a team that can compete in all three phases and play championship level football. And I think you can see that with the way this team is built. You know, they're really coming into their own. They reshape that team the way that he wants it. And they're playing at a high level.
Okay. Where's the love affair with that? Well, explain this to me.
I have two takeaways. Okay. One is I do believe that Brandon Staley is absolutely infatuated with head coach Bill Belichick. My other one is I do not think he is a good speaker whatsoever. I don't think this whole get up in front of people, have to have a point, something to
he
say.
Sounded fine.
I don't think. Yeah, I completely disagree with him.
He doesn't like it.
I completely disagree with him. What did he say
but you wanna, that made you
think? Go back and count how many times he had to go back to three phases of the game. You said David Culley did a book report, but he didn't read the book. Brandon Staley read the Cliff Notes, found one thing, and obsessed on that.
They have an identity in all three phases that works through him and that stood the test of 20 years in the National Football League. So when you're playing their team, they're connected in all three phases. They know how to play to the strength of their football team. And I think he knows how to organize a team that's competitive in all three phases of the game, not just one. You've never seen their team kind of be out of balance. They've been able to be a team that can compete in all three phases and play championship.
I cannot believe this goofball can motivate men.
Than a lot of guys in this league. So he uses the same thing, like all three phases.
Yeah.
That's what Bill does. I don't know, maybe he's giving Bill a shot. I have no idea. I just feel like when I hear him, you know what I hear? I hear the way every coach is talking about this Patriots team.
He's wrong again.
He's wrong again. What are you talking about, all three phases? Special teams have been atrocious. Yeah. I mean, they've got two punts blocked. Their kicker has kicked it out of bounds on two different occasions, and we're seven games into it. Like, all three phases. One game, their defense disappears, and they give up 577 yards. And the next time, they're making stupid penalties on offense and turning the ball over. It's been the most inconsistent seven games we've ever seen from the New England Patriots, except for one.
Well, smart
a
guy
slaughter of the New York Jets.
You said they're
one
balanced.
Game.
I would actually like someone to just
one game has been balanced.
A coach to come out and say, you know what, this is not the Patriots team that I'm used to seeing.
Rex Ryan would.
They've made a lot of mistakes. It's not indicative. I don't think it's indicative of who
Ryan,
they are, but they don't look like the same team as far as got a lot of penalties. But I feel like you can be honest about that.
Imagine if you played Rex Ryan team right now and he's the head coach. What do you think he would say?
Oh, he'd be like, this is not, listen, they make a ton of mistakes. I feel like we got them right where we want them.
He would
There's
lose.
An advantage.
He would lose the game because he would convince his team that this team sucks and they would probably take him too lightly. But he would definitely come out and say, this ain't Tom Brady we're going up against. This ain't the same New England Patriots that I went up against all those years when I was in the Jets. But now that I'm out here in the Chargers, this is a completely different team. And it's time for payback. We're going to pay back for all those years because this team's vulnerable. You know, they make mistakes like the other teams. He would be shredding this. He'd be probably telling you exactly what he thinks about this
team. And I guess if you have a 20-plus year run of success, I think most coaches would give you the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, it's all respect. I get it.
No, that's what it is. Exactly. It's a lot of respect. It's a love affair, according to Ryan.
And we'll see. Maybe they put it together. And that is true. They're starting to play their best football. And maybe they will. And then we'll hear it next week. Who's next week? Carolina?
Carolina.
We'll hear it from Matt Rule. We'll hear from him. They're starting
He'll
to put things together,
thing.
And this is what the Patriots do. But if they go out there, you know, on Sunday, and they turn the ball over a couple of times, and they go 1-for-4 in the red zone, and they have another special teams blunder, and if they have stupid penalties and rack up another 10 offensive penalties or whatever, Matt Rule's going to come out and say, well, it's just the Patriots. They do everything right. They don't shoot themselves in the foot.
Okay. Well, let's dissect this next one, okay? Because let's find out what Brandon Staley – let's find out what he thinks about Mac Jones.
I see a guy that's an outstanding decision maker. His processor is at a premium. I think for a young quarterback, you can really see that he can see the game. He can process at a high level because of the type of plays that they're running. They're running a lot of premium type offensive plays that you would think a more experienced quarterback would have. Really has good anticipation as a thrower. I think that's a big asset of his, just as a pure passer. He's got great anticipation. He's off to a good start as a pro player.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan, on this one,
he just said
I think
he has
he
a
hit.
High processor because he has a high processor.
Okay, so
he's a mush.
No,
I don't know who he's duping to get in this job.
I think he actually nailed it as far as if you're evaluating Mac Jones, you would say this. He thinks that he anticipates. He has a high level. He has a good understanding of the offense. I don't know about the premium. Is that like, does he pay extra for that? Is that like ESPN Plus?
Yes.
Is that Paramount Plus? Like, do I have to pay extra for that?
Yeah, it's like
you get the undefeated.
JetBlue Basic and just JetBlue.
Yeah. So now you get Jet. I got, what is it?
Well, Blue.
They call it Mint.
Yeah, Mint.
They call it Mint.
Whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then
Economy Premium.
Yeah. And then he also says he's tough. I mean, to me, that if you're watching Mac Jones for the first time, I think you're saying all those things.
I see a guy that's an outstanding decision maker. His processor is he can process at a high level.
I see nothing wrong with it. I think he's spot on.
Yeah.
Like, that's not exaggerating. That's not saying.
I think he repeats some phrases.
Yeah.
But I think he's a good talker.
He's got one thing to say. He's very surface level analysis.
Okay, let's find out what he really thinks about Bill Belichick being what he calls a complete coach.
Ooh.
I just think that when I've studied Bill, I see a complete coach. I see a guy that had a rich education starting with his dad, who was in scouting and, you know, who's kind of a coach himself. And so you get into that scouting background of, you know, assessing players and teams, and I think he's got that background that's such a strength of his. And then started out as a special teams coach in the league. So he's got that global perspective of, you know, special
global
teams and then how to put together a roster, back half of the roster. And then, you know, he partnered up with one of the great coaches in NFL history with Bill Parcells and was able to be a part of a lot of championship caliber teams. He's an outstanding offensive coach.
When he was seven.
And I think that's something he doesn't get enough credit for, is that he's an outstanding offensive coach and defensive coach and special teams coach. And that's why they've played the way they've played up there for so long, is because he's a complete coach.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Okay.
I'm striving to
be. Okay, so here's what it is. See.
He's effective.
He basically, I feel like, this is where you have me, Ryan, okay?
Yes.
I feel like he's in fifth grade, and he does and this is his fifth grade book report on Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick was born into a football family. His dad wrote a book on scouting. He also likes to play lacrosse. He once got a start with Ed Marchabrota and determined that a two tight end set was really cool. And since it was with the Detroit Lions, we should name it Detroit Personnel. It still exists today. He also
I get the report.
He's not
keep going. What I hear?
You love it.
No, what I hear is you know, that's that part about Bill, like you said, he's with Sean McVay, and I could see the similar scene, you know, midfield before that Super Bowl.
I can't wait to just see what their plan is.
You know, I could
just
see a guy
with him.
Like, they meet before the game, and you know, and Bill's like, "Hey, Brandon, how are you doing?" Bill, hi. It's an honor. It's an honor.
Can you sign my book report?
It's an honor to be. Man, I can't believe I'm shaking your hand. This is awesome.
You remember that?
Yeah, I can just totally see it.
No, that's. I think.
And then the game starts, and he's like, "Hey, man, I'm coaching against Bill Belichick, like hitting his assistant.
Yeah.
Like, this is pretty cool, isn't it?" All right, let's see.
I did a book report on him.
It's fourth down. What do you want to do here, Coach? Huh? What? It's already fourth down.
We just can't have. I just don't want him to pants me today. Like, is he going to make me look bad?
What's he thinking?
Now I'm having anxiety attack.
Is he looking at me? Somebody tell me if he's looking at me or not. Should I call a timeout?
I heard he wanted to see where Pete Carroll was on the sideline. I wonder if he's going to do that with me.
I believe, though, that this is part of the equation. Young coaches trying to, like, you know, make a name for themselves, like trying to show that they belong, like, and they start overthinking it. They start overanalyzing it, and, you know, and then he just sits there like the bull elephant that he is and just hangs out and waits for them to make a mistake because he knows they will, because they all do. They all do. So he meets them at midfield. They talk it through. He's going to sound just like Sean McVay. I want to know, because he was a defensive coordinator for the Rams. Was he the defensive coordinator? No, it was Wade Phillips. So that was just last year. So I do think that's part of the equation when it comes to these young coaches who are so young. Like Robert Saleh, I don't think was as enamored, but they kept showing like the age differential and how Robert Saleh in 1997 was graduating high school. Like, and then they showed where Bill was.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me?
Well, it's like Brady going up against some of these kids, going up against Mac Jones. The guy's 44 years old. You know, and here comes Mac Jones, and he still sounds like he's like 16, reaching puberty. Yeah. You know, and the voice is changing. Hi, Tom. Oof, oof, oof. You ready?
I like to make, you say, let's go, and I like to make the sound of a big dog. We're the same type of person.
I want to go to this phone call.
No!
Let's go to let's go to the
jazz.
I mean, man. I can't.
Thank God. I'm so happy he cursed so we could hang up on him.
That
And he just got out of the hospital, too. It was a good success story for us.
We were talking to you at the cemetery. You just got out of the hospital. It's going to be a great story, Jasmine. And you came on and just dropped an S-bomb. Like, I like that you're comfortable. I like that we create a comfortable atmosphere.
I'm glad we hung up on him.
You know what I mean? That we can just feel comfortable and say what we'd like. But you can't drop an S-bomb like the first five seconds.
The Jazz man wanted me to be the coach of the tight ends, and that answer is no.
Why not?
Why would I want to coach tight ends?
They get paid like minor league baseball coaches do, managers do.
Anyway, we apologize for that. But anyway, let's get back to some football here.
You know the one thing that we didn't bring up, and damn it, I wish we would have brought it up earlier, is the quote from Brady on that Manning cast. Talking about defensive players.
Oh, yeah. How stupid they are.
So how stupid they are. I've been saying this for years. Like, how smart do you have to be to go find the guy with the ball? Like, when in doubt, if you forget your rules, just go find the guy with
the
ball.
Have you ever been to some of those defensive meeting rooms? I mean, you wonder why they play defense. And after about 2 minutes, you go, yep, they can never be an offensive player. So, you know, defense is kind of like a dog chasing a car. You know, just get the guy with the ball.
I'm telling you, that's it. So Teddy Bruschi hears about this.
But he goes back into the locker room, right? What do his teammates say? Wait, Teddy got word of this?
Well, he tweeted.
I would punch you in the face if I was there right now.
He saw it. He was like, Teddy, he's like, Tom Brady is no longer my friend.
Yeah, too bad Rodney couldn't join us today. I would love to get his perspective.
Oh, yeah, we're going to play that with Rodney.
We'll get
Rodney
at some point this week. He's traveling, I don't know, with his family today. So we'll get him hopefully at the end of the week.
The fact is, like, somebody had to say it. It's the truth. If you're on defense.
Yeah, but it's one thing for Manning to say it because he's retired. He doesn't go into a locker room tomorrow and look at the other 26 guys on defense on a roster, 27, and say, hey, guys, how you doing, you bunch of idiots?
You dopes. I mean, anybody see a car drive by? Oh, wait, don't go change. Hey, thank God our practice facility isn't next to a freeway.
So the practice facility, the car goes by, all the whole defense runs for it just to give them crap or what? Like, it's just the guy's still playing. All right, listen, I don't know if you guys missed it or not. We did talk to Alex Cora at 2:30. Had some very interesting things to say. One, about that relationship. Remember that Greg Hill report? The relationship between he and Heim Bloom is Heim Bloom micromanaging this team, and also the potential movement of Devers and Bogaerts off of their current positions. You'll hear what he had to say about it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, this hour, Maloney and Forey, brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Ram Power Days on new Ram trucks at 495ram.com. All right, earlier today at 2:30, we had our final appearance from Alex Cora, manager of the Boston Red Sox. And if you remember the report on our morning show, Greg Hill, saying that he heard that there was a little rift between Alex Cora and Heim Bloom about Heim Bloom possibly micromanaging too much, and that Cora wasn't happy about it. So earlier today, I had asked him how was that relationship, kind of after setting that question up. How was that relationship with Heim Bloom?
Our relationship is a good one. It's one of those, like every other relationship, just like with Dave, there's certain things that we agree 100%. There's others that we don't agree, but at the end of the day, we work together and we try to make the best out of it, you know? I respect Heim, the way he's doing things. Nobody thought that we were going to be in this position. I know he was very criticized over the course of the off season and this season, and then at the end you see the final product, and I learned a lot from him. I know he told me before, he's telling, you know, that he has learned a lot, and it's a good working relationship. You know, I'm looking forward to work with him for a few years.
Okay,
work with him for a few years.
Okay, so my whole thing is the micromanaging thing. Like, what does that look like to you, like a manager that micromanages? Because to me,
Like a GM,
GM and a GM that micromanages his manager.
I think what it looks like is like I don't think you should start Urias. You should start Corey Knable because the computer spits out that this is the best advantage to win.
Is that a suggestion or a request?
Well, I think some teams suggest it. Some teams put information. Other teams mandate it. And I do think like Tampa Bay Rays mandate some things. I think the Dodgers mandate some things. I think it's a disgrace that the Dodgers aren't in this World Series right now, given the team that they had and the staff that they had. But I think a lot of it is suggestions. And that's where like a good relationship comes into play. The analytics will put all the reports on there. You know, and they'll tell you that this is how we should be attacking these hitters. And it's your job to explain to the hitters what it all means and trying to convince them that it works. You know, or looking at it and saying, you know what, I talked to him about it, it ain't going to work. Like, it ain't going to work. Like, he ain't buying in. Like, he refuses to pitch this guy in no matter what the computer says. He knows how he's got him out in the past. He ain't doing it. You know, and someone say, well, I don't care if he doesn't want to do it. He's going to do it. So that's about knowing human beings. That's about, like, there's no conviction. Right, or lineups, or this guy should start. I understand it should start because that's what your computer says, but you don't know where this guy is mentally right now. This guy is lost right now. He can't hit this pitch right now because they're all hitters. Look at Rafi Devers. You know, 55 straight fastballs he couldn't touch. So during that stretch, it was like, you know what? This might not be a good matchup for this guy because right now he's having trouble. In a month, he won't, but right now it is. So it's about blending analytics and kind of looking at your human beings and trying to figure out what works.
Yeah, because my thing was always, okay, you know, in the fifth inning, do you get a call? And next thing you know, they say, hey, listen, we see what's coming up. Make sure you do this.
Well, you asked him about that, too, actually. You followed up talking about that scenario at all about the micromanaging part of it.
We use information. We use, you know, everything that is provided to us. But from 7 to 10, you know, there's not a script, you know. We react to what we have. We recognize stuff that we work. We study before games. And the game will always dictate what you do on the baseball field.
Okay.
No script from 7 to 10. Give me all the paperwork you want, but when the game starts, it's my game. Right?
I would say if I'm Chaim Bloom with Cora, I would never, like, you know, somehow try to shoehorn my opinion in the middle of a game. I think that is a death sentence for you. Like, the relationship that is nice and cozy and agreeable, and it's a partnership, I think that would end in a second. There's no way that he would allow for that. And I think Chaim Bloom kind of knows that too.
Yeah, no, but that's what I mean. I don't think there's some guys that when it starts, you know, the information is there, and then as the game goes on, it's like, okay, I mean, the recommendation is this, and they think about it during the game. And, you know, to me, it's like you gather all the information analytics give you. I think it is very useful. And then you decipher which ones you want to implement. You decipher which ones you think works for you or which ones you want to take advantage of. And when the game goes on, you're already thinking about those situations late in games or early in games or mid-game, whenever it is. But then I think it ends. You know, then I think once you're in the game, it's all about feel. It's all about, yeah, well, you tell me I should bring this guy in, but have you seen him pitch lately? His confidence ain't high. I got to get him some confidence in him before I put him in that situation. I want to go back to the end of that first answer. Him talking about working with Chaim Bloom.
Told me before, he's telling, you know, that he has learned a lot and it's a good working relationship. You know, I'm looking forward to work with him for a few years.
I guess it's just whatever.
What'd you think?
What'd you think you heard?
No, rather than saying we're looking forward to working with him for many years down the road.
He said 2 years.
He said a few.
What's two?
Yeah, it's right. One more year in his contract.
So you think one of them is going to be out the door soon?
No, I don't know. I just thought it was, but that's just him, probably just whatever.
Can you
just
imagine?
And maybe use the wrong word. Maybe he might sit there and say, I meant many years. Don't relax. Don't read into it, right? It's over.
Hell, I mean, if I'm him, let's renegotiate and start paying me some real money.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, listen, you got back into baseball. I think he's probably not the highest paid manager in the game. You know, when he just brought him back from suspension, we'll see what the next couple of years go. Remember, year one, he came in here, rookie manager. I don't think they paid him much. I think they gave him a bump. I think they ripped it up and gave him a bump year two, which didn't go very well because year three he was gone.
Yeah.
The other thing we talked to him about, too, was, you know, Tomasi actually wrote an article in NBC Sports Boston that kind of puts it out there. But, you know, as far as more detail, Xander Bogaerts. And Rafael Devers, they call them cornerstones of the organization. I think they definitely are offensively. Defensively, however, it's awful hard to have like run prevention and be a very good defensive team when your shortstop in Xander Bogaerts ranks 35th out of 36 shortstops in outs above average. As far as like taking balls that are outs and turning hits to turning them into hit outs, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
So he's 35th out of 36 shortstops in the big leagues. Rafael Devers ranks 46th in outs above average out of 46 third basemen. You have the two worst, basically, third baseman and shortstops in the big leagues defensively. So how do you improve defensively, you know, when the left side of your infield can't get to anything? You know, and it's one of the reasons why you look at a guy like Erod with a 4.8 ERA and this FIP, you know, feeling independent of pitching, basically an average defense behind you, and his ERA was like a 3.6, 3.5. Like, that stat tells you he had a very good year if his left side of the infield maybe could catch a ball or get to a ball or turn balls into outs at the normal big league rate, and they are not. They are great offensive players. But at some point, like A-Rod, the move to third base is coming for Bogarts. And for some point, like Vlad Jr., the move to first base is coming for Devers. So I asked him, when do those conversations start?
You want J.P. Crawford playing shortstop for you, or you want Xander Bogarts? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the total package. It's the total player. And, you know, Xander, whatever he touches, he turns into outs, right? He doesn't make too many errors. Rafi, you saw the way he played in October, right? He played great defense. And I still believe he's a good athlete that he's playing. You know, he's getting better at third base. He makes errors. Yeah, he does. But he makes plays out of range, too.
Wait, real quick. Does that lower Xander Bogaerts' overall, like, you know, value?
I don't think
from
so.
From going from short to third?
I don't think so.
So, like, yeah, right. Because I was thinking it's not
pride
like
it's a thing.
Okay, that's my point. So it's not a demotion as far as salary go. It's like, listen, we're recognizing that you are no longer a young whippersnapper.
You're paying for the bat.
Yeah, that's my point. Never, so what does it matter?
He's never been paid for his glove.
So there's
he's
a getting, status. It's you're a shortstop.
Well, I'm just saying, you got guys at third base, Nolan Arenado. You know what I mean? You have great third basemen that can make their money. It's not like, well, if you're a shortstop, you can make $320 million. Yeah. But if you're a third baseman, yeah, you can only make $200.
You're paying for the offense. It's like where you would be franchised as opposed from a tight end
like
and wide
receiver.
Right. It's like, yeah, like there's a huge bump if you play wide receiver and you're franchised as opposed to a tight end,
well,
even though you're both doing the same thing.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do in the offseason because I don't expect an extension from Xander Bogaerts this offseason because the money's going to be too big and the CBA is too unknown. Can't do it. You can't do it until maybe next year when the season starts, you can maybe work something out, but it ain't happening. But Devers, different story. You can do Devers. You can go 5-120 and you can dangle that in front of him. You can handle that no matter what the CBA is. But Devers, but Bogaerts, mm-mm. I don't think you can do it. You got to find out what the rules are first. All right, we got last call. It's coming up next. All right, welcome back to Marloni and Foria. We mentioned earlier in the show, we talked to Alex Cora.
Yep.
But I was bringing up game one of the World Series. I don't know if you guys watched it last night. I just saw it was, 10.81 million viewers, 6.1 rating. It was up from last year, down a little bit from the year before. So it's weird, right? Because they're talking about how it's like the eighth most watched broadcast, but it's a low rating for years past. And we all know kind of viewership is different, right? It's still better than the NBA. But I guess the rating was up, but it's nothing crazy.
That.
It's just, it is what it is. People just don't watch anymore. But 10.81 million, 6.1 rating, up from last year. What'd you think of Framber Valdez last night?
Will the real Framber Valdez please stand up? And sure as hell, there he is. Why couldn't it be this bad last week with the Red Sox? Why couldn't it be that sucky pitcher?
When this was talking, we were talking about it then, and I was just like, you know, I don't know who's doing it. I don't know who's not doing stuff. You know,
the
still
sticky things.
Yeah, the sticky stuff. I really don't. But I'm just. You look at actions, and I saw a guy in Boston in 55, 60 degree weather, sweating his ass off. And every time he lifts his hat off, because he does it like every inning, every pitch. You know, he's wiping his with his hands. He's going to his temple. You know, an awful lot. Every time he gets a new ball, he's wiping the back of his neck. He's wiping his right wrist because he's a lefty, and that's where his glove wrist is. And you just watch him. You're like, geez, I've never seen a guy touch himself. Like his face, his neck, his wrist, his hair, his head.
That.
Like as much as this guy does, right? And he goes 8 innings gem. And I'm watching last night, and they're indoors, 72 degrees, whatever. It's nice down there in Houston. He's not sweating as much. He's sweating a little bit, but nothing like he did in Boston. And when he goes to his head, he doesn't use his hand. He uses his sleeves. And he wasn't touching the back of his neck or his right wrist. I'm just thinking, he's not as touchy-feely. And he goes 2 innings, 8 hits, 5 earned runs. And it's just it's frustrating. And I know like spin rate numbers weren't really crazy, but you know it's about location too. There's other things. Like we're either going to make sunscreen legal or we're not. you know, to help with a little bit of tackiness to get control. Everything he threw was middle. He didn't throw his sinker, didn't have the same action. Actually, he cut a few times. He was starting his sinker inner half against righties and it was end up over the middle of the plate rather than outer half. The curveball wasn't as sharp. And I'm just like, and I know it. I sat there and said, listen, I think they're all doing no big deal. But last night, it just pisses you off. This is a different guy.
It should piss you off.
The guy basically
should have
had
said
like,
something.
I mean, you know, in three, this last three starts, it was like an F, an A plus, and an F. You know, and it's, I can't wait for game three to watch Ponytail Boy go out there and blow 97.
Oh,
or is he going to go back to 93, Luis Garcia?
Yeah.
What's he going to do? Is he going to be 93 again, or is he going to go 97 again? Like, yeah. which Luis Garcia are we going to see? And I don't know if Snicker, the head coach over at in the Braves, his son is the hitting coach with the Astros, one of them.
Will knew
was there
what
a conversation
was going
there?
On. Yeah. Oh, of course there was.
Hey, cut the crap?
Yeah.
Did MLB say cut the crap? I don't know. It's a different guy.
Yeah.
And it's over with. I don't really care, but I can still bitch about
it. I can tell.
Stop whining. I don't care. Stop whining. I mean, I whine my whole life. What are you talking about? I'll continue to whine. I'll watch Luis Garcia throw 93 and get his boobs ripped off, and I'm going to be screaming about that in game three. I hope the Braves win. It's funny how everyone's rooting for the Braves. I'm surprised. Games 3, 4, and 5, are they in Atlanta or are they moving to Colorado?
Rob Manfred's doing his best to get
out. I wasn't sure if they were going to.
No, we're going to keep it there for now.
They can't get an All-Star game, but they get the ALCS in the World Series.
I have no choice.
Some Celtics breaking news here, guys.
Uh-oh.
Al Horford will play tonight.
All
he
right.
is in. He is ready to go.
Well, did the line move?
It's now Celtics -20.
Not. Oh, my God. It should be. It absolutely should be. All right, last call. Brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car. You can donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com. We'll give them a call at 1-877-CARS-4KIDS. All right, so Joe Buck, he was on a podcast called, what, Smartlist?
Smartlist.
Was it Will Arnett, Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes?
Yes,
those are the guys that are on there with him?
That's right.
And, you know, he just talked about a situation when he was calling a football game. And, you know, sometimes you just, you got to go. You got to go, right?
That's the other part of broadcasting they don't tell you. If there's stage fright in your life, don't even apply because you have a minute and a half to go to the bathroom and there's running involved.
Right.
So you have to stay cardiovascularly in tune with yourself.
And never a diaper or a bottle under the counter.
I have peed in a bottle while calling an NFL touchdown. I swear to God.
Really? I
was peeing in a trash can.
That's crazy.
They handed me like a little water bottle. I'm like, I can't. The half wouldn't end.
You said, that's not going to do it. Give me
that. And I was wearing a parka because it was freezing. It was in Milwaukee.
While you're talking, you did that. While you're speaking,
we came back from a break, and I was peeing, and the action started, and I called a touchdown while urine was coming out of me.
Wow, How about that one?
I feel better about that. But who's that? Jason Bateman?
Yeah, right.
Will Arnett, Sean Hayes.
Yeah,
okay.
Joe Buck.
Sean Hayes. Who's Sean Hayes?
I don't know.
Oh, Dougie.
That's your takeaway.
He's Dougie.
Not a man peed during
the game. No, I mean, so what? I peed playing football. Big deal.
Christian Yolis, the show Will and Grace. He was Jack on Will and Grace.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Okay, we got that one.
Right.
Speaking of Halloween, except in Melrose. Mac Jones talked to the media.
I would like to quiz you guys real quick. So, one, what do you think Mac Jones' favorite Halloween question is? Second, who do you think out of everybody in Patriots media would ask Mac Jones about what his favorite Halloween
Ooh,
candy
can
is?
I ask that? I'm going to answer the second part first. That's either Mike Reese or Dan Roach.
Okay.
And the worst one is the question that he doesn't like.
No, the one he loves.
What's his favorite candy?
What's your favorite candy?
Is it chocolate chips? What is it? What's
just
your favorite
chocolate
candy?
Chips.
Let's hear.
Let's find out the answer to both.
Final question, Mike Reese.
Hey, Mac, I was in another room, so I don't want to repeat a question, so I'm going to pick something that I'm pretty sure no one asked, all right?
Sounds good.
We got Halloween coming up.
Yeah.
You're a kid in Jacksonville, and you're trick-or-treating, and you get up to the door, and the candy that comes that you're like, yes.
Oh, gosh.
What is that? What do we got? What's number one on the list?
That is the most loaded question I've ever got.
Not really.
Honestly, I have no clue. I have too many favorites to, I mean, even go with like just anything chocolate or like Starburst sweet. I do it all. And I mean, it's whatever they have at the door. You know, you can't complain. You just got to take it. And if you're supposed to take one, kids only take one. Don't take more than one.
That's the advice, right?
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, so you answered all of them and Mike Reese. You win both.
That's a bad answer, though. It's like, you know,
it's a stupid question.
You had to give Mac like a week. Maybe if we ask him on Monday, you know, to think more about it. It was like the stepbrother thing, right? Just give him a little bit of a week. You catch him off guard sometimes. Maybe not a quick thinker when it comes to questions. He is identifying defenses.
He is.
Right? But maybe not.
He knows who the mic is.
All right, listen, got Celtics, Wizards tonight at home, and you got the Bruins down in Florida. Speaking of the Bruins down in Florida, tomorrow is a Bruins Thursday. We'll talk to Jack Edwards. Did you see recently Nesson announced they're not traveling? And he is not happy about it.
I don't think he is, yeah.
Wake up!
Not happy, so I guess he's going to be calling it from right down the street here, Watertown.
We should go sit. We should go sit in with him.
Oh, geez, as he calls, I can only imagine. So we got Andy Hart will join us too from 2:30 to 3:30. Jack Edwards will join us at 4:00. We got a lot to get to tomorrow. We will see you tomorrow at 2:00. Have a great night, everybody.
This is WEEI in Boston.
Boston's sports station.
This is WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.